At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Krishna joins me now. So did you get to Mission Impossible and how was it?
I did. We got to Mission Impossible. I had to sit through 10 minutes of small talk before they actually announced the all NBA teams on the broadcast, but able to get that done and get some food in our belly and hit the movie. And it's okay. I do think it is among the least of the series. I think that turn came out accurate to me. It's like it's the longest. It's funny the thing. Each Mission Impossible movie is longer than the one before. It's the longest of them that might have the least action, or at least it feels that way, and maybe the least sex appeal. Which is the two like keys to those kind of movies. You know, your James Bond espionage action kind of movie. These sort of those two elements. This is just real heavy on exposition and story and tying things back to previous installments and. You know, the real mission was the friends we met along the way kind of vibes and some of that kind of stuff. So it sort of got away from, I think, what makes those movies good, but still had some of that great action set piece at the end.
Did it feel like the last one?
They definitely left the door open. There's like a plot things hanging out there and like Tom Cruise is still alive and the whole thing. So they could be back for more cash. But there's only so many. I mean, this dude's in his 60s. There's only so many times he's going to hang off the side of an airplane again. You know.
Fair point. All right. So before that, we learned that Jaren Jackson Jr. was not did not make any of the All NBA teams. Before we discuss the implications of that again and again, what did you think of the teams that were chosen?
I think the non-positional ballot. Really screwed over the bigs, not only on all NBA and not only just Jaren, also on all defense, where like three of the top five players, first team all defense, were guards. And I'm sorry, I know Dyson Daniels has lots of steals. He is not as meaningful a defensive player as Jaren Jackson or Rudy Gobert or Bam Adebayo or all kinds of other people. And I think on all NBA, I think eight of the 15 were guards. And like, you know, when you structure a basketball team, you play two. So they sort of punched above their weight. And I think that James Harden, who was the 15th guy,
yep.
To me was less deserving, not only than Jaren. I thought he was less deserving than Alperen Şengün. He was less deserving than his teammate, Ivica Zubac. And I even think even among guards, he was less deserving to me than Darius Garland. So I think James Harden was a bad choice. Whether Jaren should have gotten that spot instead is debatable. I would say yes, but you could debate one of those other guys too. But I thought Harden was a bad pick. That was a name recognition plus points plus like the Clippers. Oh, look, the Clippers are like two games better than the Grizzlies or whatever, but they're also behind the Rockets in the standings. So I did like the Harden pick.
A lot of turnovers, not particularly efficient. And yeah, you can argue that two teammates might have had, Norm Powell as well was a, you know, had a, so, so that may have been a, when did they go to positionless voting? Do you know?
I feel like it's been in the last year or two. I think that's a recent change.
Right.
So I think it's just in the last couple of years.
All right. So he didn't make it. And that means he is not eligible for a Supermax, And so we have the situation where you can either go into free agency, I mean, either go into next year without a contract, knowing that still at the end of the year, you'll be able to pay him more and offer him more years than anyone else. Or you can go ahead and try to extend his contract this year, renegotiate his contract this year, and then extend at a higher number and then extend off of that.
Right.
Do we have a sense of the timing of this, when they can do it, and if so, when they might do it, and when we might hear about it?
Well, as people are probably too used to hearing on off-season stuff, nothing is going to happen anytime soon. like literally, you're talking about renegotiate, clearing cap space to renegotiate a current contract that is not yet a current contract. It won't become a current contract until the league calendar flips in early July. So the salary you're talking about renegotiating of Jaren's is not his current salary. You can't renegotiate it until it's his current salary, and that is in early July. You also can't make these other moves to clear cap space until the calendar flips. So nothing will happen, at least nothing official. Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll reach some kind of tacit agreement about what they're going to do before then, and maybe we'll find out, maybe we won't. But nothing official will happen until July. And then at that point, you know, it's still in terms of there's a difference between reaching an agreement and signing an agreement. And since it seems likely that the Grizzlies will have to do some maneuvering to clear more cap space, the actual signing can't happen until after, like, whatever happens with that. And so, you know, if this is going to happen, and I think there's a decent chance it does, you know, mid-July would be my guess, but it could string out longer than that.
Do you have a sense of the ballpark number they could get to with a renegotiate and extend?
Well, so there's a cap on what they can do with this, because you can't offer him, you can't do a renegotiate and extend that creates a salary for, I'm going to say next season, but I mean 2026, 2027, not this coming season, but the next, right? You can't create a salary in that season off of a renegotiate and extend that is greater than what his max salary would be. Not his super max, because he's not qualified for that, but his max. And so the current projection would be like if Jaren went into unrestricted free agency a year from now and did not qualify for a super max, then his max contract under current projections would be about $51 million, and then you build the races off that. So they can't do even it's not the sense that, like, you can just keep clearing money and give more of it to Jaren. You can't exceed that number now. And so there's only so much they can do and only so much they have to do in that regard. I don't have the numbers in front of me. The current math on it is not close to that. But my sense is that to get to that number, that maximum number you can get to, I think clearing Conchar's money on top of what you have would get you very close. I don't think it would get you all the way there. I think clearing Conchar and Jay Huff would get you pretty much to there. And so the maximum thing you can do would be a contract that you would bump him to, say, 36, 37 this year, do a maximum extension off of that to get to 51, and then do a four-year deal that starts at 51. And the total new money in that ends up being, I don't know, 250, something like that.
If you do that, you've got to pay people, presumably, to take Conchar and Huff, right?
Well, it's
maybe not Huff.
There's so many spokes on the wheel, right? And the thing I struggle with this stuff, right, about it, because I know it's too dense for a lot of readers, but it could be so much more dense than it is. Because there are so many spokes on the wheel. I mean, one thing you can do is wave and stretch, guys. And so if the cost for moving off of Conchar's money is such that you don't want to pay, you can move off 2/3 of the money by waving and stretching him. And just like, you know, you wave him and you stretch the money owed to him over 2 years, over five in terms of cap money, and that gets rid of four of it. My guess is that if you traded Conchar into cap space to make the money go boop, my guess is that you have to incentivize that. I don't think the Grizzlies should. I definitely don't think they should, and I don't think they would give up a first-round pick to move Conchar money. And so is it second-round picks and cash? And if the price is too high, do you just, like, wave and stretch them and then move Jay Huff and get to sort of try to get there that way? There are different ways to do this, but I don't think people are pounding down the door to take the Conchar money. And so I think if you're going to move him into space, you probably have to incentivize it. But I don't think the Grizzlies, I think there's a limit to what they would do with that.
It feels like the Grizzlies would like to do this and should like to want to do this because then you have certainty. And yes, you it may hurt your ability this offseason to make next year's team better, may get in the way. There's still other ways to make next year's team better. Honestly, mostly you're counting, I think, on internal growth anyway, and now you have them secured for the long haul. Makes all the sense for the Grizzlies to want to do this. Why would Jaren do this?
Well, let's flip it and say, why wouldn't he do it? I think that makes it a little easier to digest. There's three reasons you wouldn't do it if you're Jaren. One of those is that you can't get a fifth year if you do it now. The most you can do on a renegotiated extent is a four-year extension on top of the year that's left. And if you wait till next summer, you can sign a five-year deal. And the fifth year and the way these contracts tend to be structured tends to be the most lucrative year, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about an extra 50, 60, whatever million on a fifth year that you can get a year from now, but you can't get now. So that's reason number one you wouldn't do it, to get in the fifth year. Of course, you know, you're not locking in anything now. And so do you wait a full year to lock in the fifth year, you know? Right. And it's not like you're not going to get a fifth year eventually. You're going to be 29 when you go into free agency. And so it's more of an injury risk thing. Like, the money's probably there either way, but you can't guarantee it. So not being able to get the fifth year, the most lucrative year of the deal, is one reason you wouldn't do it now. A second reason you wouldn't do it now is if you want to take another shot at the Supermax. And so if the fifth year is like, let's just do round numbers. If the fifth year is another $50 million, the Supermax is another $50 million on top of that $50 million, right? So if you want to wait and take a second shot at the Supermax next season, that would be a second reason why you wouldn't do it. And then a third reason why you wouldn't do it, the most conspiracy-oriented reason, would be you want to maneuver yourself to some other situation, and so you don't want to lock in because you're trying to create that path. Those would be the three different reasons you wouldn't do it, and they're all rational reasons. On the other hand, if someone's putting $250 million or whatever in front of you, and like you get, you know, 13 of that immediately instead of having to wait a year, I mean, it's kind of a lot of money.
Well, that's right. I mean, really the reason not to do it, the reason to do it is I could suffer a grievous injury in November. Right. And I have my money. Right. Isn't it? It's you have the certainty of having that's
the main reason. And you know, I don't want to speak for anyone, but like, do you just not want to do if you're content to stay here and you just don't want to go through a whole season of people asking you questions and there'll be newspaper stories about how this team is going to try to get you and go through all that circus, maybe that's another reason.
Make
right?
it go away. And the other thing is if you sign a contract, if you someday think you might want to go to another team, you know what you do? You just raise your hand and say, I'd like to go to another team. That's the way it works.
Right.
Nothing locks you in anymore in the NBA. You just ask for a trade. So
that's right.
All right. Well, we'll see how that a saga to follow all summer long. Not the last time you're going to talk about this, Chris. In the meantime, we have two NBA series proceeding apace. The Knicks. And the Knicks and Pacers resume tonight. Your thoughts on what Cat did in the fourth quarter and that series?
Obviously, big, huge game for him. Maybe game of his career to this point. I mean, that Knicks team, they did that against the Celtics, right? Come back and, like, you know, snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. I mean, all three games in the series, and it's funny, you know, it's been the road team on all of these, but I feel like there have been other series earlier in the playoffs that were kind of like that. Maybe it was that Knicks Celtics, I don't remember. But all three of these games have been, I think, decided by 6 points or fewer. And so it's an evenly matched up series talent-wise, and they've been tight games ultimately in the end. And, you know, the Pacers, like, now are up one, even, you know, and sort of they got home court back and winning two in New York. And so the Pacers are certainly sort of in the driver's seat with it. But every individual game, you know, in this series to me feels like a toss-up going into it. So I don't know.
And then the other one, it's interesting how who knows how the Grizzlies series would have played out. But it did. I mean, as you saw the T-Wolves pounding them in Game 3 and then losing an excruciating game in Game 4, but for Ja's injury – I can imagine it would have played out the same way.
These series have been, the two series have been broadly similar in that game one, the Wolves didn't lose by 51. They lost by 30 or whatever, right? So the Wolves, you get blown out in game one in OKC in both series. You lose by double digits, but not quite as bad in game two in both series. You go home in game three, and you're absolutely rolling, and you're blowing them off the floor, and you have the energy, and maybe they've let up a little bit, and like it's all coming, it's all together. And then game four ends up being a competitive game that you end up losing at home in a close game. So it's all the same, with the exception of the John Morant injury deflating the entire building, and you not actually winning game three. I think everyone believes that the Grizzlies would have won game three if that didn't happen. I feel very certain about that. I don't think it's certain that the Grizzlies win game four, even if Morant plays. And so it may have been the same situation where you still lose a close game, and now you're down 3-1 going back to OKC game five. Like, I think if John Morant doesn't get hurt, it could be almost the exact same situation.
I mean, the Grizzlies could have lost by 12. But I actually think, I know Ja was largely derided for saying he'd figured things out, but it was not inconsistent with what my eyes were telling me either. So, all right, but they did lose. I don't know. You're obviously, they got a all-world performance from the bench, the T-Wolves did. And yet Ant was quiet. They just denied him the ball. And Randall was wildly ineffective, 5 points. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think the Thunder are a little bit better top to bottom, you know, and particularly in terms of that defense. That defense can take stuff away, and it's hard. You got to be able to find other stuff, and the Wolves have done a decent job with it, but, like, they're just not as good. I do think, as I thought from the beginning of the series, that, like, the Randall Gobert thing, those guys have to be good, and they have to overpower the Thunder a little bit, and that has not happened, certainly with any consistency. There have been moments here and there where those guys have been good, but not consistently, you know.
Was Jalen Williams second team, third team? What was he? Was he third?
I think he was third team.
Third team. And you co-signed. Obviously, he looked first team in that last game.
I don't remember. I mean, I wrote this late in the season who I would have voted for if I had a ballot, and I don't remember what I wrote, but he was certainly in the mix of players I would have considered. Yeah.
That's funny. I saw there's some podcast out there debating, I think it's the Athletics podcast, debating whether this big three is Oklahoma City's best big three. And I think when KD is part of it, when it's KD, Harden, and Russ, it's a little hard to say that these three are the equal of those
one
three.
One thing you got to remember, Harden was coming off the bench initially with those teams. And Harden didn't fully bloom into an all-star player until after he got traded. And so, but I think as good as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, I don't think he's Kevin Durant. I think prime Kevin Durant, I know they're each one-time MVP winners, right? But I think prime Kevin Durant was a different level of player than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his stuff over at the Daily Memphian. He'll be writing about Jaren. Are you ready to wait till July now? What are we? We're not even in June. Are you ready to wait from July?
I mean, ready is, I don't know if that's like the, like,
we don't have any
I'm
option.
Accepting.
We're accepting.
My gut, the more you talk it out, my gut says we're going to go through next year and he's not going to have a deal.
I mean, I hate to say it.
Like, when you lay out all the reasons, like, none of those reasons that Chris mentioned, I think were,
they're
like,
not unreasonable.
Yeah.
We started the show talking about P.J. Haggerty turning down $3 million. We're assuming that offer's real. Bird in the hand, $3 million. In the hopes of two things. One is getting it off, telling an NBA team, saying he's going to be, that they'll take him in the draft, even in the second round. Or B, someone would come in and offer him $4 million, right? And we said that in the end, those things were fanciful. Right. Those things were fanciful. And so, although I don't think it was some huge mistake for him to do what he did, he's getting paid $2 million at least to play basketball at K-State.
He will be making more money than he made this year.
It was based on dreams rather than actual logical. Yeah, I could see that happening. Right. Whereas for Jaren, let's go through the three reasons not to do it again. One, he can get, if he waits another year, he can get a fifth year, as opposed to just a four-year extension. And by, it's not just the extra year. The money gets bigger every year.
Correct. And it's a guaranteed deal.
Two, he could get a Supermax if he makes one of the three All-NBA teams, which he might well do. Now, you could argue it was under Isolo that he was not as effective. Maybe
he makes Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, but it is not far-fetched. Until the whole season unraveled, he was firmly in one of the All-NBA teams. And that would get him another giant pile of money. And third, he's got the flexibility to see how a, let's be honest, kind of up-in-the-air situation with the Grizzlies, not his situation with the Grizzlies, but the state of things, right? This feels like, all right, they'll do this again. We'll see what happens. But the 2 years ago clearly did not go well for the franchise. Last year was, at best, a mixed bag that ended in very disappointing fashion. And so he can wait and see if this is where I want to be. And by the way, Memphis can still pay me more money.
Correct.
And literally there is a cap. The most they can pay me now, it can't pay me now per year more than I could get a year if I wait. So why the hell not wait? The only reason not to wait is I don't want to deal with it. And that doesn't strike me as a real reason. Is Jaren going to be overwhelmed by the pressure of it all? I don't think so. An injury. Now, that's a real reason. If someone is offering you a giant boatload of money now, and you look what happened to Brandon Clark, you know?
Well, and honestly, now,
you look what happened to Jason Tatum.
Well, look at why Jaren signed. Like, the real reason we are in the position that we're in right now is that, and Chris said this the day that they announced the contract, this contract is a very good contract for the Grizzlies.
It declines.
But it makes him harder to re-sign. But the reason why Jaren signed it was he was coming off of an injury.
Well, and here's the other thing. Back then, Jaren had never had a big contract.
Yep.
And so you want to make sure that
you get the first one.
That you lock in that you're going to be rich as hell forever, right? When you have that first opportunity. But when you're already rich as hell forever and you have big dreams about your world in fashion or film or whatever else, why not like become a mega millionaire as opposed to just a mega millionaire as opposed to just a mega millionaire.
Right.
Right. And so I already am rich. I already have, if I suffered a debilitating injury, I already have plenty of money. It's not like I'm going to be, you know, having to clip coupons here.
Right.
And so why not just bet on myself? I hate to say it. I'm not trying to talk him into it. I hope he signs. I hope he does the renegotiate and extend. But I think I don't think that if he doesn't do it, it's a sign that he wants out. Some will misinterpret it that way. This means, watch. This is the end. This is the beginning of the end for Jaren. And I suppose it could turn out to be. But it's honestly just a rational way to get the most money.
In the end, Memphis is still going to have the ability to offer him the biggest contract. That will not change.
But it will be nerve-wracking all year long.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be uncomfortable.
And then if a loss happens or the season goes sour,
what's this going to mean?
It's going to be, what does this mean?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.